This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash.
Moments away from the biggest heavyweight title defense for this man ever, Hulk Hogan, you've got to be ready.
Well, you know, I hope Pontiac, Michigan recovers, man. I'm glad I snuck in early last night, brother. I didn't realize the interstate, the Pontiac Silverdome was in danger. Not the 90,000-plus on the inside. It's the 90,000-plus on the outside of the Silverdome. Those are the ones I'm worried about, because when I get my hands on that big, nasty giant, when he faces the truth, when he feels the wrath of Hulkamania, the day the whole earth is going to shake. What are those 90,000-plus Hulkamaniacs on the outside going to think? I'm not worried about the people at the closed circuit. I'm not worried about the people all around the world. They'll see it. But the intensity of Hulkamania, the way it's turned this whole state upside down, the way the whole world's turned upside down, what are they going to think when the giant hits the ground, he feels the wrath of Hulkamania, and the whole world shakes at my feet?
We could conceivably blow the roof off this great facility, the Silver.
Oh yeah, it's about that time, everybody, for GPW Weekly, hosted by Steve Aaron, along with the Macho Ghost. So give it up.
Well, good evening. Better late than never, as they say. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to GPW Weekly. My name is Steve Aaron, General Manager, Global Professional Wrestling. You know the rest. Also with us online, hopefully at this point, is the Macho Ghost. Mach, did you make it in?
Oh, yeah, here I am. I'm here right now. That's okay. I was running late anyway because I've been searching the parking lot for Martez. What did your goon do to him? Martez, where are you?
And also joining us is producer Martez Vale, who had a brush with death earlier this morning.
Yes, yes, I'm here, barely, but I'm here.
Steve, you can't complain the show is late because I believe indirectly you made the show late by turning your bucket-headed freak loose on the great Martez.
Well, you know, Martez is a broadcast journalist, and he's always looking for the story. I mean, he and I suffered through the Jed Williamson era to get to this point.
No.
And Martez is always looking for the scoop. So, you know, he went out looking for an interview with Metalhead and got a little bit more than he bargained for.
Well, my question, who was the guy Metalhead was carrying? Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know.
And Martez, but, Steve will pay all of your hospital bills, by the way.
I need it. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
You're coming in loud and clear. Everything sounds good. Except
okay.
I can hear Steve. That's not so good.
Well, unfortunately, although, you know what, I'm starting to think that maybe GPW Weekly needs to take a bold new direction because some of the listeners seem to think that the Marchez and Macho show would be a better product. So something to consider as we play it forward.
Marchez and I have been saying that for months. Besides, everybody hates your guts, so don't take it personally.
No, of course not. Why would I?
Thank you, Macho. I have a good time doing the show with you. You know,
yeah, I have a good time doing the show with you too. And then there's Steve.
You're a face that learns the place, so I definitely want you around.
Ooh, yeah, I like it. I like it.
Well, the good part about it is when we have those evenings on a Thursday when I can't be present, it's nice to know that business as usual will be conducted in a fine way. And the fans of Global Professional Wrestling Weekly will enjoy it.
It's nice to know that if somebody was listening when it was just me and Martez, so that's good to know, too.
Absolutely.
That's right. Well, you guys have big fans in the Hippie Heather and Stacy Sparkles. We've got a regular Disney Princesses Brigade listening to this show.
Yeah. Apparently, Stacy, she's a diehard fan of this show.
She loves the Macho Ghost.
Martez, if you go trick-or-treating this year, make sure not to eat any apples. They may be poisoned by an evil queen and or stepmother.
That's right. We got plenty of that.
Heard.
Now, I got a scoop. I got a scoop here right off the kick off the show. Now, I heard a rumor circulating in the rumor mill, and incidentally, the rumor mill is right down, follow the road all the way down to the end of the grapevine, and you'll find the rumor mill, and I heard that Steve is changing the name of GPW after this weekend's event will be known as SAW, Steve Aaron Wrestling. What do you think about that?
Oh, hey, I think that's great.
Seeing as the man's the general manager, but he's got 14 matches on the card, and everything's all about him all the time.
Well, you know what? That was never my desire nor my intention. It just kind of happened.
Sure it did, you narcissistic freak!
Uh-oh.
You know what? I'm going to take this opportunity to cut through the kayfabe just a skosh. You know, as we do these shows, you know, they're very exciting, and, you know, to be involved in productions like this it's thrilling, it's nerve-wracking, it tests your mettle, it's not always fun, it's not always smooth, but, you know, in the end, you're usually satisfied.
That's what I say about my love life!
Right, a few weekends ago, Larry and I, that is something I didn't need to know. Did I just hear a knock, or am I hearing things?
You're hearing things, so that's my cue to turn my mic off until you guys.
No, that's don't turn your mic off. We don't want you going anywhere.
Your conscience trying to get back in your brain.
That could be it. You said Macho Ghost, and it's very interesting that, you know, sometimes it gets to be all about me, and that's not always good for business. And perhaps maybe there's some accuracy there. As I ventured out as a fan to enjoy the show of another local promotion, of which, you know, I have many acquaintances, friends, people that I know, were working at this particular show on a particular Saturday. My son's games got rained out, some things changed. We had a horrible flood here in the greater Flossmoor metropolitan area. So last week I lost a lot of personal possessions, water heaters, air conditioners, old pictures, and many irreplaceable items in a flood. We probably had almost 2.5 feet of water in our basement.
Oh, man, now that's terrible.
It is terrible. It was not a great weekend, but I decided that I needed a little release, so got the family settled in for the evening, and I decided to take a ride to Chabance, Illinois, to a show that was going on. Thought it would make me feel better, you know, being amongst some of my peers in this industry. You know, I don't get to watch shows from a fan standpoint as often as I'd like. So I get to the show, and a lot of the people in the crowd recognize me. I got a chance to talk to some of the fans. Some enjoy me, some don't enjoy me, and they all had no problem telling me either way, which is kind of fun. You know, I'm not famous, but, you know, at least people knew who I was, and, you know, that
Steve,
was
you're
a little
infamous.
Bit well, perhaps that's true. It was flattering. So, you know, I enjoyed the show, but the reaction from some of my acquaintances was a tad lukewarm. Not that it was rude or not that it was, you know, bad, but it was unexpected because, you know, I often when I speak of these people, I say very nice things because they're talented. You know, they've always been good to me, but in this case, it was a little lukewarm. So I felt a little disappointed as I drove home. The show was great. I mean, the action, what was going on in the ring, you know, everything was spectacular. It was a really, really good show. So, you know, they certainly achieved what they set out to do that evening, and the crowd was, it was a full house. It was wrong. The ending was that nobody saw coming. So, you know, all in all, I give it a thumbs up, you know, 10 out of 10. But my reception by some of the folks that I went to see was a little lukewarm. So I was a little disappointed. And as I was driving home, I started to think to myself, well, you know, I have, you know, been a little over the top in what we're trying to do at this show. And perhaps the fact that I am not one of those, you know, 20-year vets that clawed his way through ring setups and breakdowns and due payments and, you know, perhaps that my beginning of being different and my timing that's like. Did someone just fall down some stairs?
I think Metalhead's attacking Martez again!
Well, let me finish this up. I didn't mean to take this long, but
say what you need to say, because you know I always have a follow-up editorial.
Right. Going to a show like that to see my peers, and, you know, it reminded me that, you know, maybe I am not, you know, what this industry considers someone that maybe should be doing as much as he's doing. So, Macho, it was a very interesting point you put up. But, you know, like I said, you know, at Hell's Bells, we have got a plan, and, you know, it should be a pretty remarkable show. I'm pretty excited about it. But it did give me that weekend, you know, in Shabans did kind of readjust my priorities, and it did kind of set me back in place if I'd gotten a little too big for my britches.
Now, hold on a second. Now, are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
All right, now, first of all, go over and check and see if Martez is all right if he fell down the stairs. Now, this is the
Martez
part after Steve does his beginning talk that I always have to say something about what he just said, and I always try to tell it to everybody straight. So let me tell it to you like this. Steve is breaking the kayfabe there a little bit. Obviously, he's been acting like an egomaniacal crazy person running GPW, but I say SAW for a reason. So I'll break kayfabe a little bit here, too. Heaven forbid some guy walks in off the street, does what he's asked to do for a couple years, steps into the spotlight, and kicks everybody's butt just because he's charismatic, talented, and willing to work his way up the ladder, working as hard as he can. Maybe some of you 20-year veterans who've been putting a ring together should take a step back and say, what am I not doing to get myself over that fast? Maybe I'm a little too lazy. Maybe I should be cutting some more promos, writing some more promos, being online every single day, posting a video that I had to chase everybody down to make while I am simultaneously married with two kids, working a full-time job, writing an entire pay-per-view every 4 weeks, writing shows every single day and putting it together, traveling to shows all across the greater tri-state area. How dare you not shake my hand when you see me walk into a building, because I'm doing everything I need to do to make things better for all of us and not just me. So if you got a problem tonight and tonight only with Steve Aaron, then you track down the Macho Ghost and I'll slap you back in the gate. Reality.
Wow. You know what? Thank you. That made me feel a little bit better about myself. I appreciate that. That was
you
that
shouldn't
was
feel bad at all. You're doing your job the way you're supposed to do, and you're getting over because you got the ability and the talent, and you're putting the time in every single day, working at least 10-hour shifts, and then going to all your kids' games. And I know your wife. You're putting up with her. You should be, people should be thanking you for bending over backwards, doing everything you're doing to keep GPW afloat while certain ex-baseball players have decided to take a vacation to the South Tropics of Illinois.
Well, it's not exactly like that, but, you know, I appreciate it. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's good to get your perspective altered just a little bit. Because it makes you, you know, it makes you maybe even a little sharper. So, you know, not a bad experience, a little disappointing, but not a bad one. But I feel better off for it. So
well, everything I just said is true, so you should better remember that. And everybody else better remember that, too. Nobody deserves anything. You got to earn your spot. So if you think just from being around because you haven't died yet, you deserve something better, maybe you better take a look in the mirror and see if you're working better. You're working harder. You're working longer.
I totally agree with you, Macho, on that. Totally agree.
Well, boys, I appreciate your kind words. It's much appreciated. Now, let's jump right back into other things that happened. Did you all get a chance to see what happened at IPW?
Is that the place you went to get free beer?
Well, that didn't exactly go as I had hoped it would. For those that didn't see my exploits, it was my debut at Illiana Professional Wrestling.
Is that the unincorporated area between Illinois and Indiana?
I think it's just a really nice title that means they work in both Indiana and Illinois. So I think it was a clever way to name a Fed, and I think it works. Anyway, good friend of mine, Rion Skills, is a person of power in this particular institution. And he invited me out to participate in a beer drinking contest against beer drinking champion Sean Danger. Well, I showed up in Dalton, Illinois, and I got to rub elbows with you know, some of the elite talent in Illinois or Indiana. The villain Joey Roth was there. I got to rub elbows with him. I got to hang out with my old friend and nemesis C. Red. I got to catch up with Chaz Moretti, and, you know, I met some people that I didn't know as well as I know now in the form of men like Tully, and there are, the Red Flag Army were there. I mean, there are a lot of really great, the locker room was fantastic, so I enjoyed myself there. I mean, I didn't enjoy Sean Danger at all because he's a little pissant that's going to get his ass kicked Saturday night, but we'll get to that.
Did you get to rub the elbows of Renee Van Peebles and Roxy Hart?
Roxy was not there. Joey was by himself. Roxy was shooting a film, so she could not be present. You know, Roxy and Roth are jet-set filmmakers. They do lots of things. So, you know, just the fact that he was even there and graced me with his presence for a few moments was enough for me. Renee Van Peebles, just as mean as always, but I was kind of working with the ARC just a little bit that night. It was fun catching up with Miles Mercer. It's nice to see he still hates my guts. You know, C-Red still, you know, loves to rip me down. But, you know, I was working in their best interests by trying to set Sean Danger up for their three-man tag match that would happen later in the show. But
Sean Danger is the whatever that name was. He's their beer drinking championship, which Vertez, I can't even believe there's a belt for. Is there a tap on the belt?
Well, it's come to my attention that he made this belt himself. So I'm not exactly sure if this is an IPW sanctioned title, but they do let him defend it monthly.
Like, I'm going to start doing that.
Right? So. Instead of being beer, it was whiskey. So, you know, he brought out his flask and asked me if I wanted to drink from his flask. And I'm like, dude, I can't even see your mouth for your nasty, gnarled beard. So why the hell would I drink from something that you've drunk from? I mean, I don't need herpes, malaria, swamp fever, whatever you're carrying in that rat's nest of a beard. I don't need that. So I took the innocent bottle of Jack Daniels. I mean, it's not my favorite beverage, but I'm like, I think I can stomach this enough to beat his silly ass. So the beer drinking tournament commences. They ring the bell, and I go to town. I start drinking down the Jack Daniels. Now, it burns a little bit, and it doesn't smell so great. Jack Daniels is a tough whiskey, but you know, not being an experienced whiskey drinker, I didn't know better. And then right as I'm in the middle of my first swig, he stops drinking from his flask and says, "By the way, I peed in that." Well, of course, then I almost threw up all over the ring. Here I am, not drinking Jack Daniels. I'm drinking a Jack Daniels Sean Danger urine smoothie.
Probably not the first time.
It was gross. I mean, I the first thing that should have clued me in is Jack Daniels shouldn't have chunks in it, right?
Oh, man.
That's some nasty stuff, man.
That's what I'm saying. So here I am dry heaving over the side of the ring, and he's sitting there laughing at me. And then the ref rings the bell and says the winner is Sean Danger. Well, that flipped my switch, and I went over and grabbed that idiot by his beard, and I punched him out and down, kicked him to the curb, and I hit him with one hell of a fish stick splash in the corner.
I saw that. You actually put a moveset together. I liked it.
I put his ass down, and I took possession of that beer-drinking belt. And I was mad and sick and grossed out, but I said to Sean Danger, I said, if you want this belt back, why don't you show up October 5th? I'll give you a contract for one night, and you try to win it back.
Mm. Now, I got two questions. First of all, Do you have a taste for urine now? And secondly, it's Sean Danger drug-free.
I don't know the answer to the second one, but from my research, urine is 97% pure. So,
as I mentioned before, Steve and I were trapped in the desert once, and he had to drink his own urine for 10 days. Macho urine is so full of macho, I only had to take a sip, and that lasted me for 9 days.
Right. So definitely. But, you know, the fact that there were chunks in it, you know, made me feel a little weedy. It still makes me feel a little queasy.
He should see a doctor.
Did you throw up?
I should, right? I don't know if it was from, you know, it's just the fact that I consumed liquid produced by Little Danger just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
You know, have you extrapolated this encounter? Perhaps he didn't fill it in the way you're thinking. Perhaps he emptied the bottle first and then filled it by dunking it in the toilet.
He might have done that, which is even less appealing. So, it doesn't matter the nature of the urine. It just matters that I drank it. And, he signed the contract, and he is going to be in Posen this Saturday night, just under 48 hours from now, and he will be trying to get his beer title back.
Urine is nature's Windex.
Yeah. So, a lot of people want to whip my ass this Saturday night. Maybe it is through my own doing, but, you know, it's not like I went there. I went there for the spirit of competition. You know, IPW, Rion Skills, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know what, we'll do a little friendly interpromotional thing, and they set me up. So I blame Rion just as much as I blame that asshat with the beard.
Well, you know, Steve, you should have seen this coming. It goes all the way back to the days when you made Portillo's an enemy of you and they stopped giving you cheese.
Yes, you know, the Portillo's story and the Portillo's wounds still loom large in the city of Homewood.
So does this mean that Saturday night you're going to, one of the things you're participating in is another drinking contest, or is this a regular catch-as-catch-can contest?
No, I told him, you're not going to drink your way back to the title. You're going to have to fight me for it.
Oh, man.
I didn't say you're going to fight me. I just said you're going to have to fight for it.
Ooh, it's always good to check the words in the fine print of the contract.
The man is drunk. He doesn't know what he signed. But on Saturday night, he will.
Man, oh, man. Steve's got a lot going on. First of all, he goes to Shabance and he finds love from the fans, not a lot of love from the locker room. Then he goes to Olympia selling banana, and he goes to the drinking contest, and he's drinking someone else's bodily secretions. Man, oh, man. Steve, are you sure you should even leave the house anymore?
Well, you know, that's the thing. We learn, and a good friend of mine on social media, Dean Fabian, I went to school with him. The Macho Ghost knows Dean.
Yeah, I remember him. Is he still in prison?
He told me that I learned a valuable lesson on Sunday in Dalton. Smell before you sip.
Well, also, too, you should probably never drink anything in Dalton.
I think I learned that lesson most of all. It spoiled an otherwise spectacular evening for me, but that's a learning experience, and we'll see if the phone rings with an IPW area code, and we'll see if I answer that.
So anyway, now you've got naked enemies everywhere. You got Sean Danger coming to the Hell's Bells on Saturday, October 5th, coming out hot. First of all, I hope someone's driving him if he's drunk. Otherwise, that's not good. And can he even find Posen from Dalton?
Well, the trip from Posen to Dalton is very short.
I believe you might have to drive through Riverdale and or Phoenix.
Well, the point is, the Dalton extravaganza was on 142nd Street, and the Posen Dome is just off of 147th, so not an extremely long distance to traverse, so I hope Sean is okay getting there. But
it might as well be the Pacific Ocean for a drunk guy.
Yeah, and like I said, he may walk in, but he ain't walking out. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, man, there's like 500 towns there in like a 12-block radius. Has anyone ever actually been to Dixmoor?
I'm going to make him drink more than urine. That much I promise you.
Oh, man. Hey, everybody in the locker room at GPW, if Steve shows up with a big cooler, don't go near it.
Those aren't brownies, Sean.
Oh, man, Marquez, let's just let that one go.
We should...
But anyway, so enough about my experiences elsewhere. Let's focus on Hell's Bells for a moment, as we have just a short time before the show, and it's coming up before we know it. And tonight, live on Facebook, as soon as I finish up here with these fellas, we'll do our typical just prior to show Facebook Live press conference type thing. So if I don't answer your questions here, I will answer your questions there. We haven't had any calls yet, so people are maybe a little out of sorts with our late start time. But hey, that's the beauty of live radio. Technical difficulties happen, and you soldier through them.
Maybe they're just disgusted with your lemonade and chocolate stories.
Perhaps that is true. So
besides, we only got 40 minutes left, so don't call in.
Macho, I'm going to yield the floor to you for a moment. Do you have any things to expound upon, or do you have any questions to ask? What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I think I know you'll cover it later in your general manager address on a different frequency, but I never watched that. So I think maybe it's good if we quickly, and I say quickly, go through the card of everything that's going on. We already know one match taking place, Drunken Sean Danger going against a gladiator of Steve's choosing, and then apparently being force-fed some horrible delicacies from the trash can. We know that's going on. And then secondly, the only announcement I have to make is just a reiteration of something I said last week, and then this past Tuesday on that wrestling show live on Evolution Pop, Tuesday nights from 7 to 10 p.m. Macho Man calls in at 9. That's what I'm saying. And Steve Aaron called in as well, and we all got into it with the Swink. And the Swink and I, along with super fans like Stacy Sparkles and the Richard and the Heather, we're all going to be in attendance this Saturday. That's right, the Macho Man, the Macho Ghost, the dressed up like the Macho Bones for Halloween will be there to keep an eye on Steve and all of his shaky, sneaky shenanigans. And the Swink's going to be there to keep an eye on me as well while I keep an eye on you, while you keep an eye on Sean Danger, while he keeps an eye on his flask.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the fact that you and the Swink are going to be there and all the super fans are going to be there, I mean, that's why we do what we do, because
that's
we want
not it. You do it for the money. And also, too, it's Halloween-themed show that gets lost in the shuffle, so everybody coming, you should wear a costume and celebrate Halloween.
Indeed, it's the season of the witch, and make sure you trick
or your wife's going to be there.
No, definitely not. Man, that's cold, brother. That's just cold. Okay.
That's okay. If I knew if she was ever listening to the show, I wouldn't say it.
That's a good call.
That's even colder.
Yeah, she's not the biggest fan of wrestling in the world, that's for sure. But that's neither here nor there.
I'm going to fill my Halloween, my plastic pumpkin bucket. I'm going to go trick-or-treating at Hell's Bells, and I'm going to fill my bucket full of Steve's lies.
Okay, well, you'll have quite a few of them. That's for sure. It's great that I've heard that many people are interested in this show. And, we've done quite a few shows this year. This is obviously show number 9. We did not do a January show.
This is obviously one of them.
This is obviously one of them. And
penultimate show of the season.
It hasn't happened yet, and I don't know how it's going to go down. The thrill of preparing for what you hope will happen and then what actually happens are often two different things. But I can tell you with the effort and the promos that we've had and the storylines that we have, I have never been more proud of a show than this one. I thought High Road would be something I could, hook my wagons to on a cold winter's night when I'm old and alone and out of this business and remember fondly. But, if I had to put High Road and Hell's Bells side to side just based on story, Hell's Bells is probably the greatest work to date. And if the show goes the way my mind sees it, at the end of the night, I think the fans will walk away really wanting to see what happens next at Nowhere to Run to finish off the 2019 season. And, obviously 2020 is a bit up in the air, so you don't know what's going to happen. So last two shows of the year often tell the story of where we're headed in the future.
Yeah, speaking of the future, I sure hope you're not old out in the snow looking for a place to hitch up a wagon.
Well, like I said, life throws you many curveballs. So I've got a lot vested in the Hell's Bells show. And, though lots of people would like to see it fail, I'm hoping that the people that are entertained by us will come out in force. And we'll have a great show and people will enjoy it. And, the quality of entertainment that GPW brings will rise above a lot of the nastiness that exists in this business that is, as far as I'm concerned, very unpalatable.
You mean like the business full of putrid scum suckers? Steve, like I said before, you working hard and you just said it right there. If it's anybody needed some evidence to the contrary inside this courtroom of wrestling life, that Steve has been working hard putting together this show and putting together a show to entertain the fans and get the wrestlers out there so they can do what they love to do. And like I say, as much as everybody says that we do it to entertain the fans, and I know they do to a certain point, but they do it really honestly because they love going out there and performing because they love wrestling and they love professional wrestling. They love grappling in between that four-sided ring, which I've never understood why they call it a ring. But anyway, the work that's been put together on this show, wow, not trying to sabotage anybody else or any other competition, or as you have just heard from Steve, not specifically bad-mouthing anyway. It says volumes about the character of what Steve brings to GPW. And as I've said a few times, as Steve has told me me to not say too much, not to go too far, and not get him in trouble. That's all I'll just say. That's what professional wrestling's about. Practicing your craft, entertaining the fans, and working hard. As I look over that list I just wrote down in the air, I don't see anything in there about stabbing other people in the back.
Well, I mean, that's a fair point, and very passionately put. So we'll leave that right there as we get into what's going down at this show. Most of the show has been pretty well discussed to this point, although I would like to take some time to talk about a couple of specific things that I haven't had a chance to talk much about. Let's start with the Vision Division title match. That, of course, is taking place between the champion, Jason Hades, a legend in the wrestling scene in this Midwest area. Jason Hades is known far and wide as one of the best in the business. And as you can see in his match last month versus Kalmar then, Renvar now.
Get to the bottom of that?
I'm going to see him this weekend. I'm going to try to pin him down. He's got lots to do this weekend as he locks horns with the enigma known as Fester. You got a Viking and a Thing. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sure interested to find out.
Oh, now is that a new match? I haven't heard about that one yet.
You see, we always break a little bit of news on this show. So that's right, in Posen this Saturday night, Renvar the Raider, the Mighty Viking, will take on the, I don't want to say charismatic enigma because that's somebody else, but that's truthfully what he is. The Thing, I guess you could say, known as Fester. And if you were at the last show, you will know at the end of the show, mysteriously and hard for me to believe, Fester is currently with Child.
Oh, man, wait a minute. She shouldn't even be wrestling.
Well, you know what? When you have opportunities, you take them or you get left behind. And, you know, I told Fester, I said, if you don't take this match, that won't do well for what's coming up. And right now the Chicago Sideshow is all over Posen this Saturday night. The entire brood will be out in force. There's tag team action. There's intergender action, and then there's a Viking versus a pregnant it.
Now, I take back everything I said. How dare you make a pregnant man wrestle? And you could ask Martez about this. He's a registered OBGYN in some of the provinces of Canada.
Hey, all I can say about that is Caitlyn Jenner is a decathlon winner, so I think Fester will be okay.
I think you should. You got to get this Renvar. I think you got to get him. Hey, Steve Kenton, whatever hat you got on now, you got to get this Renvar in your corner so you can interview him and ask him what's up with the name change. And then actually, maybe we should find out if there's some kind of ultrasound that Fester so we can see what's going on. And then technically, does this become a handicap match 2-on-1?
Well, we will see what we will see. Anything can happen when you put a Viking and you put a Fester in a ring together and have there be a baby involved. It sounds like a bad show from like it's a Lifetime episode, isn't it?
I slept with Fester's Danger.
That's it. So that's a lot of things going on in that match. A lot of layers to that there, onion.
Well, I'll be there. So if you need something, I once delivered a baby on a Ferris wheel. So if you need something, let me know. Give me the high sign.
I will keep that in mind, Mach. I will keep that in mind.
For child protective service as well.
We got hot water and we got towels. That's all you seem to need to deliver one. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about Hades versus his opponent at Hell's Bells. The winner of the triple threat number one contender match, it is the Amazing Turtle.
That's crappy fan favorite.
The fan favorite, the Turtle, against another fan favorite, Jason Hades. So whenever you get a couple of really good people involved in a good match, it's hard to pick sides. I mean, you don't want to go against the Turtle, but, you know, Jason Hades is so respected. But this is a match that the Turtle has been dreaming of since he was but a tadpole in this business.
I think that's a frog.
had, well, you might be right about that.
Turtles come from eggs, I believe.
Okay, so the yolk's on turtle is what you're saying, right?
Oh, man.
So,
I'm thinking that you might be leaning more towards Hades, because as I see all over the social media, turtle hates your guts now.
Yeah, turtle and I, and I'll, I'm going to get into that in a second. So turtle, a lot of his training went through Jason Hades. So these are two men that know each other well. It's very much a teacher versus student match. Let's go back to that 1977 space opera known as Star Wars, and that sequence where I was but a learner, now I am the master. So we've got a Ben Kenobi Darth Vader situation going on perhaps here. So you know that will be an interesting dynamic. You know, as Hades has taught him a lot, but has he taught him everything? Has Turtle picked up a few special skills along the way that maybe Hades isn't ready for? Either way, it ought to be a fairly interesting match. Now, a lot of people say, well, Turtle hasn't been doing this long enough to stay in the ring with a guy like Hades. And I'll tell you what, maybe Jason Hades does have the edge when it comes to a pure wrestling skill level, but what Turtle doesn't have in, you know, refined skill in some ways, he makes up for more than enough in the heart and the desire and the effort. And the only way Jason Hades is going to put Turtle down is if he kills him. I mean, he's going to have to knock him out because Turtle will not submit. Turtle will not tap. And it will be hard to get a pinfall against a guy like Turtle. Turtle is determined. Hades is up for the challenge, but Turtle has been waiting for this moment his whole life. And, you know, the priorities and the work and everything that goes into it comes to this moment. So, you know, although Turtle hates me now, and that's all well and good, you still want to see a good quality match here.
And heart is the unquantifiable energy source of the universe. You can't count it on your stat sheet.
So I think Turtle is going to give Hades all that Hades can handle, but, you know, in the end, you know, it's the scrappy upstart with heart sometimes can't deliver the goods against the man that is very difficult to beat. So it's an interesting storyline. It's an interesting dynamic. Turtle has fought his butt off to get this opportunity through all the years he's been working, through all the matches he's officiated, through all the blood, sweat, and tears, putting the ring together and taking it down. This is payment in kind for doing things the right way. And as I was telling you earlier, maybe the cool reception I got was because maybe I didn't do things the right way. Well, Turtle, you know, has your classic getting into wrestling and going through the various levels. And, you know, right now there isn't anybody in GPW more popular than him, and it's a credit to his character and it's a credit to his drive. But, you know, like I said, character and drive can only take you so far when you get into the ring with an assassin like Hades. So I don't like his chances, but he's a scrappy kid, and he's gonna give him what for, and we'll see where it ends. Anybody can beat anybody else on any given Sunday or Saturday night, as it is in this case.
They often say you only got to be better than your opponent for 3 seconds.
See, Turtle and I have basically, you know, put GPW on our respective backs and have been pulling it through a very turbulent ocean. And Turtle has decided that he wants to be a Mitch Blake guy. He doesn't like what is going on between the member of the Rage and myself. He is more a Mitch fan than, of course, I am right now. Right now, Mitch and I are mortal enemies. It's Lex Luthor and Superman. It's the Joker and Batman. It's Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. It's good versus evil. I mean, or you can spin it any way you want. Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon. I mean, any way you want to spin it, that's what's going on here. So I have no love for that face-painted clown right now.
Like a glass of milk and someone who's lactose intolerant.
Exactly. And Turtle has stayed loyal. But it's been pretty clear lately that down south, Mitch Blake and my former chief of security, she no longer occupies that title in my mind, but she is our ladies' champion, Miss Miranda Wrights, obviously are doing a little he-in and she-in down south, if you know what I mean, as I quote Jerry Reed from Smokey and the Bandit.
Man, oh man, first of all, I compliment you on that reference. Second of all, yeah, that's been stirring in my mind for a while now. What's happening there, and how can Turtle still support the guy that apparently is making time, is getting frisked by his former girlfriend?
That's what I have been saying this whole time. Mitch cares about Mitch. Doesn't matter who he runs over to be Mitch. And Turtle and Miranda were one of the cute couples of GPW. I mean, who can forget the Dirty Dancing Battle Royal? I mean, it's still fresh in people's minds. And they fought side by side. They've worked out side by side. They've had budding romance for many, many months. And
it's
then,
turned into more like Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Right. And all of a sudden, Slick Willie, with the baseball bat, steps in and beguiles young Miss Wright. And she lets her guard down. And next thing you know, they're living downstate, starting GPW South. And meanwhile, Turtle's up here. So, Turtle, I don't know why he blindly follows that man, because that man has taken from him something very special. So it's interesting to me that he wants to be a quote-unquote company guy when he could easily come to my side and we could do this thing together. But we all have choices to make. Turtle has made his. I don't like it. I don't like him as much as I used to. But as a man and as an athlete, I respect him, and I wish him no injury this weekend. But you know what, buddy? You're not going to beat Hades, and when those two come up, if they do come up, you're going to get a dose of the power couple, and that's, a wise man once said, never rub another man's rhubarb, as he shot. Thank God there was a silver plate in the way, or we would have had a dead hero, right, Maj?
Exactly. I love strawberry rhubarb pie. Maybe they'll have a threesome.
That might be the grossest thing I've ever heard on this show, and I just talked about fecal brownies.
This is true. Maybe it's time to instate a trio's title.
I don't think that's going to happen. I'll leave that to others.
GPW
so,
Fractional South and GPW Fractional North, soon to be renamed SAW.
Well, there's another dynamic to Mitch, Turtle, and Miranda. You see,
there's
Mitch,
a dog involved.
Well, there's leave Penny alone. Penny is a hapless victim, collateral damage in all of this. Turtle and Mitch, they're friends, they're brothers, this, that, the other thing. Turtle is a little bent out of shape because Miranda is no longer with him and is with Mitch, but Turtle is also not pining or anything because he's focused on the match of his life. And he up and told Mitch Blake that he doesn't really care what's going on in Mitch Blake's life against me. He's focused on his match. Well, that didn't sit well with the member of the Rage named Mitch Blake.
Yeah,
Mitch
you
Blake
think he would have understood that, but it said he seemed kind of surprised and offended.
Right, so there's another dynamic. So I don't understand why Turtle doesn't see what I have been seeing and I have been running my mouth about for a whole month. I have been telling people what I've known for a while. They say they can't trust me. Well, I think their animosity is in the wrong plate. You gotta, I say all the heroes are going to fall. Well, when you think about it, and you start to cut through the chase of all that's going on at Hell's Bells, the only true hero in this whole show is me.
Oh, man, that's stretching the rubber band kind of far.
I'm trying to save this company from itself. I'm trying to cut off the cancer and rebloom the flower that bloomed brightly just a short few months ago.
You could be right. You could be right. Some people worship the devil. Some people support Trump. Some people say Judas was pretty cool. But like I just said, if you're going to pull the rubber band that far, you better hope whoever's holding the other side doesn't let go.
That's a fair point. So I don't know if the relationship between Mitch and Turtle is terribly solid right now. And Mitch is running out of friends. And he keeps saying, I'm coming up north.
Did you say he's running out of friends or he ran out on friends?
Well, you could go either way. He's bringing his dad. He's bringing his concubine. He's bringing the dog. He expects Turtle to be there. I even saw a blurb on social media that he invited the people I just fired to come to the show.
Oh, man, who would that be? You fired a lot of people lately.
Urban Country were summarily dismissed and banned from global professional wrestling. And
he invited the two of them, is what you're saying. That's who's that? That's Jay Cross and that Willie the Bomb.
That's right. So, I don't know if they will violate restraining orders and show up at Posen to support Mitch. But, you know, he's running out of people. He's running out of time. He's running out of options.
Man, oh, man. This seems like there's a lot of people who don't like you, who are no longer with the company, who are actually coming to the show. I'd rather
someone who
doesn't like you come to the show and get in your face rather than work behind the scenes and try to put you out of business.
Right. So I've given Mitch Blake and Turtle and Miranda and anybody else you like just enough rope to hang themselves. And Saturday night, they will all be swinging from the rafters, I assure you.
Ordinarily, I would say that sounds horrible, but seeing as the show's Halloween themed, that sounds pretty good.
Some other
decorations are expensive. Homemade ones are always the best.
That's true. That's true. Other matches on the card that we've talked about at least a little bit. Last week, our guest was the ravishing and uber talented Sky Blue. She will be in action against her nemesis, Golbaldi, in a rematch from the GPW charity event in Tinley Park.
Now, is Golbaldi pregnant?
Not to my knowledge, but
is Sky Blue pregnant?
There was a flyer put together that I shared on social media of the Sky Blue Golbaldi match, and it kind of almost looks like a poster for a romantic comedy, doesn't it?
Well, that's what you said when you were visiting that wrestling show live on Evolution Pop Tuesday nights from 7 to 10 p.m. Macho Ghost calls in at 9 o'clock. That's what you said. It looked like a romantic comedy. I thought it looked like two vicious and prepared competitors staring each other down. But, you saw something about smooching.
Yeah, I see Twilight 5 is what I see when I look at that. I don't know why.
Incidentally, anybody who's listening, Twilight 5 is Steve's Wi-Fi password.
That's right. And I wonder if they should not take a lesson from Turtle and Miranda. Relationships and love don't work well in global professional wrestling.
That's right. So get it on fast because it won't last long. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying stay away. I don't know of anything between these two. I mean, I paired them up at the charity event because it seemed like a good match. It seemed like it would be good quality, and they both agreed to it. I had no idea that it would become something that was so special that we would want to revisit it at one of our live shows. I mean, that's how much people enjoyed it the first time around. So why not give them a good sequel? And that poster just gave me moments of pause. You never know. that kind of thing can strike like lightning in a bottle. So,
there's always a lot of sweet love at Halloween parties. So what you're saying is do it on the first date, move in together on the second date.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm just listening.
I'm saying run.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But, Steve, let me tell you something. There's nowhere to run.
That's right. In November, that's for sure. There will be nowhere to run. And there will be some exciting announcements this Saturday night about the final episode of GPW, Nowhere to Run. It will be pretty impressive. I think people will get a kick out of where we're going with this. Obviously, we've got the title on the line. Casey Dillon will be in attendance. That's another person that's looking to kick my ass.
Is she pregnant?
I don't think so. Not that I know of. But she's